Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service. I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Father, we pray that you would guide us as we study your word today. We pray that you would speak to our hearts, that we would understand and apply it in our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're in the book of Romans, and if you have your Bibles with you, let me see your Bible. Okay. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. You know, when I was in seminary, I read about a preacher who was asked how he prepared his sermons. And he said it was very easy. I tell him what I'm going to tell him. I tell him. And then I tell him what I told him. Hey, that's a pretty good theory there. And that's how Paul wrote this letter to the church at Rome. He told them, first of all, that they had a great sound doctrine. You were sinners, you were saved, and you were set apart for God's glory. That's chapters 1 through 8. Then he told them about the nation of Israel in chapters 9 through 11. They were God's people, they'd been set aside, but they will return. And then he told them how to live as a Christian, chapters 12 through 14, which we've just gotten through. Put Christ first. And be sure you always act like a Christian. Pretty good idea, huh? Well, beginning in chapter 15, Paul concludes by remembering almost all of those who had helped him. The title of my message today is A Fond Farewell. And chapters 15 and 16 are the closing or the benediction. And that word benediction means blessing. Paul begins to sum up his letter in verse 5 of Romans 15. He says, "May God, who gives this patient an encouragement, help you to live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then Paul goes on to quote several Old Testament scriptures. And he ends in verse 13 by saying, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." In verse 15, Paul reminds them of God's grace. He says, "Even so, I have been bold enough to write you about some of these points, knowing that all you need is this reminder. For by God's grace, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles." That's an amazing statement. And then Paul goes on to give his goal at the end in verse 20. He says, "It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation." Folks, that should be the goal of all of our missionaries, to go places where the gospel has never been preached, so that we can reach out to those who have never heard. Now, in verses 23 through 29 of Romans 15, Paul tells them that he's going to come to Rome, but he wants to go visit the churches that he's established. So he's going to take his time going through those regions to visit those churches. And he asks for prayer. In verse 31, he says, "Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will." And then he says, "The God of peace be with you all. Amen." Folks, if we ever needed prayer, it's now. So let's pray. Let's pray for the church. Let's pray for our community. I hope you pray for me and my family. Pray for our community. Pray for our leaders. Pray asking the Lord to protect us daily, to guide us to do His will. Because if we really pray as the Lord taught us to pray, we'll see Him work in ways we could have never imagined. Now, one thing we need to remember about this letter, that when it was written, it didn't have chapters and verses. It didn't have any of those things. It was a letter. And he continues his letter in chapter 16. And he begins by greeting those who ministered with him. In fact, there are about 35 different names mentioned in these verses. So Paul's making every effort he can to thank those who made a great impact in his life and in his ministry. You know, it's a real blessing to remember those that have made differences in our lives. Amen? And what Paul is doing, he sums up in verses 15 and 16. He sends greetings to all the saints that are with him. He didn't want to leave anybody out. But he wants to send special thanks to every saint who had been a blessing to him. And as Paul concludes his letter to Rome, he becomes so filled with praise for the Lord and his blessings that he bursts forth in what's called a doxology. Listen to it, beginning in verse 25 of chapter 16. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God, glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you know, folks, some churches sing the doxology, and it kind of goes like this. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Have you heard that? Yeah, we used to sing it in another church that I was in. But the Bible's full of that kind of praise and worship. Many times in the Word of God, the authors were so overcome with love for the Lord that they simply burst into praise. And that seems to be what's happening with the Apostle Paul here. In fact, he does what he frequently did. He took his own pen and wrote the final three verses, 25, 26, and 27. And in verse 25, he begins to proclaim what God is able to do through the power of the gospel. He says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. See, Paul is praising him who is powerfully, dynamically capable of not only breaking through our blinded hearts, but really establishing and building our lives for his glory. You remember all the way back in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jews and also to the Gentiles. So after affirming God's dynamic power, Paul then praises him for the gospel that establishes us. That's wonderful to know that the gospel is for us. God's able to establish those who trust in him according to Paul's gospel. And folks, every true preacher and every true teacher should proclaim the gospel. Because it's through the gospel that God is able to establish our minds and our hearts. It's interesting that no one but a Christian can really be certain about God, about his truth, about his standards of righteousness, or his love, or his care, or even certain things about him throughout eternity. Only the genuinely converted can truly say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Glory to God! But not only does the gospel establish us, the gospel proclaims Jesus Christ. In verse 25 it says, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. The major theme of the book of Romans is Jesus Christ. Well, wait a minute. The theme of every book in the New Testament is Jesus Christ. And the preaching of Jesus was Paul's life commitment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, Paul said, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Nothing compares with the gospel as a way of establishing us as believers. The truth of the gospel message is the means of spiritual life and spiritual stability. The Apostle Peter said, and the God of all grace who called you into his eternal glory by Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. So not only does the gospel establish us, and that the gospel proclaims Jesus Christ, it also reveals God's mystery. Verse 25 continues, according to the revelation of the mystery which had been kept secret for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. Faith. See, the gospel is revealed truth. Now, folks, a mystery here, what he's talking about here, is something that's not been understood without future revelation from God. The mystery that Paul's speaking about was hidden until the right moment when God revealed it. With the coming of the Lord Jesus, something very unique happened. Eternity invaded time. God stepped on to the earth. And after his coming, the world would never be the same again. It was and is the central fact of history. In fact, we date our time in terms of before Christ and after Christ. And it is with his coming that the world began all over again. So the mystery of the good news has now been revealed through the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension and the coming again of the Lord Jesus. The mystery of Christ dying for us, living within us, relating to us. The mystery that has been hidden for the ages, foretold by the prophets, is now revealed through Jesus. And he is the gospel message. You know, sadly, the gospel is still a mystery to a lot of people. Satan has blinded the minds to the truth. They've been led to believe that the gospel involves Jesus plus church, Jesus plus good living, Jesus plus this, plus that. Folks, the gospel is Jesus Christ alone. Let me ask you a question. What have you done with the gospel? Have you believed it? Have you received it into your heart? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Paul identified specifically the object of his praise in verse 27. He said, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be glory forever. Amen. You see, the wisdom of God is displayed through the Lord Jesus. Paul told the church in Colossae, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, sometimes we think we're really something because we've been saved and we're no longer under the curse and the penalty of sin, and we get kind of puffed up. But what we fail to remember is that we had nothing to do with it. God sought us. God bought us. He opened our eyes to our condition, and he gave us the remedy for it. And it's through Jesus that we ought to give God the glory. God's the one who intervened. He was the wisdom that thought up the blending of grace and mercy and justice. It was his son, the Lord Jesus, who died, and it was his power that raised him from the dead. It was from his life that the Spirit was given to every single believer. And it was through him that we have been redeemed and our lives are able to honor the Lord. You see, it's our privilege to take the gospel and apply it in our lives. And it is our duty to share that gospel with this world. That's what the Great Commission said. As you go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them, teach them to observe all things I have commanded you. And I'm with you the whole time here. We're reminded that all that God has done for us, he did through his son, the Lord Jesus. So Jesus is the only way of salvation for everyone. He said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Not only that, he is the only access that we have to God. Paul told Timothy, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. And he's our only advocate before the throne of God. The Apostle John says, when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the substitute for our sins, but not for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. And we're reminded that for us to glorify God, it has got to be through our relationship with the Lord Jesus. There's no other way to approach him. There's no other way to serve him. There is no other way to know him. Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. The very fact that God would provide all of this for us through the Lord Jesus proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that he's worthy of all the praise and all the glory that we can give to him. So if you're saved, you have ample reason to praise the Lord. Now the book of Romans comes to an end with this phrase, which is also the gospel, which I love, I hope you love, and that I preach. And so does every God-fearing preacher. To God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory. Folks, it is the ultimate purpose of all things. Amen? Well, this ends our study in the book of Romans. And we're going to begin a study of the joyful church pretty shortly. So I'm glad you were able to be with us this morning. I know this for a fact. God is good all the time. See you in church.